Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Giridhar Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridhar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. Krishna Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Gaura Premanandi. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Jayang gunar avarajo pyadite sutanam. Lokan vichakrama iman yadata dhiyagya. Kshmang vamanena jagrahe tripadachalena. Yachnam rite paticharan prabhubhir nachalya. Jayan gunar avarajo pyadite sutanam. Lokan vichakrama iman yadata dhiyagya. Kshmang vamanena jagrahe tripadachalena. Yachnam rite paticharan prabhubhir nachalya. Jayan gunar avarajo pyadite sutanam. Lokan vichakrama iman yadata dhiyagya. Kshmang vamanena jagrahe tripadachalena. Yachnam rite paticharam prabhubhir nachalya.
Do we not also chant some people, or is that?
Jayam, the greatest,
Gunaihi,
by qualities, Avarajaha, transcendental, Api, although he is so, Adithehi, of Aditi, Sutanam, of all the sons, known as Adityas, Lokan, all the planets, Vichakrame, surpassed, Imam, in this universe, yet one who, Atta, therefore, Adhyagyaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kshmam, all the lands, Vamanena, in the incarnation of Vamana, Jagrahe, accepted, Tripada, three steps, Chalena, by pretension, Yachnam, begging, Rite, without, Paticharan, passing over the right path, Prabhubhihi, by authorities, Na, never to be, Chalyaha, to be bereft of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord, although transcendental to all material modes, still surpassed all the qualities of the sons of Aditi, known as the Adityas. The Lord appeared as the youngest son of Aditi, and because He surpassed all the planets of the universe, He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the pretense of asking for a measurement of 3 footsteps of land, He took away all the lands of Bali Maharaj. He asked simply because without begging, no authority can take one's rightful possession. Purport. The history of Bali Maharaj and his charity to Vamanadev is described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bali Maharaj conquered all the planets of the universe by rightful possession. A king can conquer other kings by strength, and such possession is considered to be rightful. So Bali Maharaj possessed all the lands of the universe, and he happened to be charitably disposed toward the Brahmanas. The Lord therefore pretended to be a beggar, Brahmana, and he asked Bali Maharaj for a measurement of 3 footsteps of land. The Lord, as the proprietor of everything, could take from Bali Maharaj all the land he possessed, but he did not do so, because Bali Maharaj possessed all those lands by king's rights. When Bali Maharaj was asked by Lord Vamana for such small charity, Bali Maharaj's spiritual master, namely Shukracharya, objected to this proposal because he knew that Vamanadev was Vishnu himself, pretending to be a beggar. Bali Maharaj did not agree to abide by the order of his spiritual master when he understood that the beggar was Vishnu himself, and he at once agreed to give him in charity the land requested. By this agreement, Lord Vamana covered all the lands of the universe with his first 2 steps, and then asked Bali Maharaj where to place the 3rd step. Bali Maharaj was very glad to receive the Lord's remaining step upon his head, and thus Bali Maharaj, instead of losing everything he possessed, was blessed by the Lord's becoming his constant companion and doorman. So by giving everything to the cause of the Lord, one does not lose anything, but he gains everything that he could never otherwise expect. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnanam Janashlaka Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathamitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sham Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Gurudasa Jaidvaita Swaminiti Namine Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shanivari Paschatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Thank you all for being here and the mystic potency of Alachua, Alachua Maya Samavrata, the hidden audience. There's always 50 plus people in an unmanifest form listening beyond. But yeah, thank you all for being here and special mercy. I was a Gurukul boy here 27 years ago, so it's pretty wild to make it full circle. And although it might be somewhat embarrassing, might be a good word, to be sitting on this platform before so many respected seniors, I think I accepted partly because my mother was very happy to push for it, and pleasing one's mother is always beneficial. But also to set a precedent, I don't see so many Gurukulis sitting on the Vyasasana, and I think that it's a nice sort of, not that I'm going to hand out tips on succession planning, but just to represent the next generation and try to push for these roles of more responsibility is sweet, I think. So thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity. Jayam Gunair Avarajo Pyadite Sutanam Lokan Vichakramaimam Yadata Dhyagya Kshmam Vamanina Jagrahe Tripada Chalina Yachnamrate Paticharam Prabhu Bhirna Chalya. The Lord, although transcendental to all material modes, still surpassed all the qualities of the sons of Aditi, known as the Adityas. Sort of an interesting line here. This Avaraja, Prabhupada translates it transcendental. I was trying to figure out how that means transcendental. I studied Sanskrit for some time with His Grace Gopi Pranadan Prabhu and Govardhan. Unfortunately, I didn't study enough to be able to break this word apart in that way. Generally, avaraja means vara is superior, better, and avara, lower, ja, birth. So the latter, the youngest of all of these sons of Aditi is the avaraja. So Vamana is, although he's much younger than the other 12 Adityas, he surpasses them all in qualities. But even taking it with Prabhupada's translation, transcendental, although he's transcendental to qualities, he's nirguna, no material qualities, still he's playing this role. This is his lila. He's enacting this pastime as Lord Vamana, just to give pleasure to the devotees, just to specifically to give this benediction to Bali Maharaj. Such a sweet pastime, although it's very familiar territory for all of us, we never cease in delighting to hear about it again and again. So the Acharya's comment that the past chapter, Purusha Sukta, confirmed was describing mostly Maya Shakti. It was describing the material energy, universal form, creation, maintenance, destruction. And now Lord Brahma is continuing to describe the Leela avatars, these various incarnations. He started with Lord Varaha and made his way, sort of not the usual order we hear, but now we're reaching Lord Vamanadeva. And he has requested of Bali, Yachna. He's begged of him 3 steps of land. Now, I found it interesting, each of the incarnations of the Lord comes with a specific purpose and has a form suitable to that purpose. We see Lord Varaha, a boar. The talent of the boar is that he can dig and retrieve things from muddy places, or pulls the earth from the causal ocean where she's been dunked by the demon Hiranyaksha. And similarly, Matsya is the suitable incarnation to navigate this flood of devastation. Nrsingadev Adbhuta, this wonderful form to fulfill all of the benedictions given to Hiranyakashipu. So in this way, each form is so suitable. And when you think of the function of Lord Vamana, as a Brahmana, it's very suitable to ask for a benediction. But as far as a form to retrieve the 3 planetary systems, to cover such a large span of tract of land, maybe not the most suitable form to stretch so far. And so we get a 2-for-1. Vamana becomes Trivikrama and takes these wonderful large steps. There's a pastime the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada. They were sort of hinting at more esoteric descriptions of the Dham, that the Dham is sort of a lotus flower. And when the petals close, then the distance between points becomes very close. So how is it, you know, that Krishna is walking from Vrindavan to Govardhan? I was just in Vrindavan for 2 months. And even with your own vehicle, it takes almost an hour to drive from Vrindavan to Govardhan. So Krishna and the cowherd boys, they're making this journey on foot. So the devotees were sort of pushing for, hoping Prabhupada would give some esoteric knowledge. How is it that they're walking this distance? Sort of a prompt. But Prabhupada replied differently. He said, he takes very big steps. So that's this pastime, Trivikrama. He takes very big steps. You can see, never mind walking to Govardhan, he's able to cross the entire universe with these steps. And not only Krishna, but the qualities of the devotees also becomes exalted by devotional service. So Jayan Gunai, these transcendental qualities of the Lord. Similarly, Yasyasi Bhaktir Bhagavati Kinshana, Sarvayar Gunai Statra, Samasate Sura. The devotees also acquire the qualities of the demigods, the godly qualities. Whereas Harava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahadguna, where are the good qualities in those who are manorate nasati davato bhai, who are running externally after something separate from devotional service? And we see this very clear disparity in consciousness between Shukracharya and Bali Maharaj. You can maybe even empathize a little bit with Shukracharya. He's, after all, been after this success of his disciples for a long time, and finally it's been achieved, and right after achieving success, Bali Maharaj is going to throw it all away. No, hold on to it a little longer. Don't let go just yet. And so, poor Shukracharya, he's at odds with Bali Maharaj and their intentions. He's still dhavato bahi, running after some external delights. And interestingly, we see this with Indra as well, this sort of mentality of chasing after kacham vichindan, considering this broken glass, Dhruva Maharaj says, of this material manifestation, some position, some claim to ruling the world. Or Dhruva Maharaj had aspirations beyond, something greater than the kingdom of his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. So never mind that, Indra's got lesser motivations. He's desiring just to retrieve
the three planetary systems, just retrieve Svarga. And it reminds me of, Prabhupada tells that story maybe from Aesop's Fables, that this old lady is carrying a bundle of sticks on her head and it falls and she's feeling so much despair. Oh, God, please help me, God. And God appears before her. Oh, what can I do for you? Oh, can you put that bundle back on my head? And so Vishnu, Krishna is disappointed. In the pastime of Vritrasura, he directly expresses it when he's speaking to the demigods. He says, well, frankly, I had hoped you would all come here to ask for pure devotional service. But since you're coming for some material benediction, you can approach Dadichi. And so similarly, Krishna is showing Indra, through the example of Bali Maharaj, what one's true aspirations should be. And this is very sweet, actually. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the description when Narada Muni encounters Indra, and he says, oh, you have truly received Krishna's mercy. He's going from devotee to devotee, and each one sends him onward. No, I'm not the best devotee. And so this the king on the earthly planet, I'm not the best devotee, you need to go see Indra. Narada Muni approaches Indra, and Indra says, no, what mercy has Krishna shown me? He stole the Parijata tree from me, humiliated me. He showed up as Vamana and didn't even fight for the kingdom. He regained it by cheating. In this way, Indra refutes Narada's claim that he's the best devotee. He has a few arguments against it. And he says, and above all that, I was humiliated further when he showed Bali Maharaj to be a greater devotee right in my presence. And he went with him. Although he appeared as my younger brother, he went off and became Bali's doorman, stayed with him. And so in this way, Indra was expressing his lack of having received Krishna's mercy. A little bit of mercy from the Lord. So many mercy verses are jumping in my head. But I think applicable here would be that one for whom Krishna particularly shows his mercy takes everything away. Of course, that verse says shanaihi, very gradually. Gradually the Lord, harishye, I take everything away, gradually. But in Bali Maharaj's case, that mercy was expedited. Never mind gradually taking away everything, instantly taken away. I was thinking about this actually in terms of our material possessions, or never mind just material possessions, in terms of our health. I was in Vrindavan for 2 months and I was coming to Alachua and I had this strong desire that when I come to Alachua, I'm going to be at the morning program every day. I'm making it just in time for Festival of the Holy Name. And I had all these aspirations and desires. And the second I arrived here, I became sick. It seemed like everyone was catching something. Brutal cough, nightly headaches that were just absolutely intolerable. Can't sleep. Don't want to get anyone else sick. Not that everyone didn't already catch it. So I wasn't coming to the temple. And my first 2 weeks here, I basically just sort of spent inside. And I was thinking, you know, as I caught one thing and then another, I didn't really see light at the end of the tunnel. You know, it just felt like, okay, this is the new, this is how I'm going to live the rest of my life, you know, in sort of a state of sickness. Sometimes when you become sick, it feels like that. It'll never end. And I could sympathize with Sanatana Goswami's, you know, he has sores all over his body. He's not able to perform devotional service. Oh, let me just dive in front of the Ratayatra cart wheel. Sometimes you just think, oh, this body is useless. Let it be over already. And this is sort of charity in the mode of ignorance, so to speak. You know, at the improper time, for the improper reasons, just out of frustration, bhoga tyaga.
And then the second health returns, then ah, king of the world again, enjoy like Indra. Suddenly, you know, who's going to Satchel's? Let's go get pizza. So this mentality of enjoying when we have our health is prakriti bhakta. It's a sign that we still have these material tendencies. This is Indra's position, lamenting as long as he doesn't have his facilities and running to the Lord. So it's a sort of mercy that it's taken away from him, because then he approaches the Lord. And when he has his kingdom, then the enjoying spirit, very dangerous, it can return. So on another note, labho jivaiti avata, the health is our basic necessity. So when I was missing my health the past couple weeks, I was just thinking, forget all of our other material aspirations, labho jivaiti avata, just so far as maintaining our health, what a blessing that we can just be engaged in devotional service. When I used to live here in Alachua, I had a motorcycle. And at one point, it sort of fell apart. And I remember being so frustrated with it that I thought, if I could just get, you know, $100 or $200 for this, if someone were to offer me that, I would just get rid of it, you know, for parts, whatever it takes. And then a mechanic friend pointed out to me what a simple fix it required. And for $75, I fixed it and sold it for $1,400. And so that distinction between, you know, $200 and $1,400 is quite large. And on one hand, you want to get rid of it when it's falling apart. But when it's very valuable, then it's very nice. Then you want top dollar for it. And so real charity is when a thing is still of great value. I was thinking of that in terms of Bali Maharaj, that he has this kingdom, and it's so great. It's not that the whole place is dilapidated and falling apart and he can't wait for someone to take over management. No, he's just attained this position, and yet he gave it up like it was nothing. Of course, it was taken from him, but he didn't lament about it. It wasn't a painful process for him to be extracted from that position. It wasn't like the motorcycle falling apart that, oh yeah, thank goodness someone else will take it off my hands. No, it was in its full, glorious position. King Kulashekar is praying similarly, you know, let me, while I still have my faculties, because at the time of death, my throat will be blocked up by kapha vata pitta. So let me absorb myself in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead now. Let me not wait till that time of death, till that time of separation. And then it's one thing to give up one's possessions, but then one's own body. That's the what makes Bali Maharaj an Acharya. Chavana kirtana smarana vandana pada sevana dasyare pujana saki jana atmanivedana. Atmanivedana, this full surrender, giving up everything, giving oneself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Excuse me. Atmanikshepa karpa. So Bali Maharaj represents that Atmanivedana, that quality of complete surrender. Where do I put my third step? Later in the eighth canto, it will say that the Lord had arrested him with the ropes of Varuna, thrown him in a cave. Little extra details there. Sometimes in our summary version of the pastime, it all is very just glorious, one step after another. It almost falls into place seamlessly. Oh, everything was taken away. The Lord is here. Yes, yes. Put your third step on my head. But no, and from external point of view, he was totally downtrodden. He had been arrested. He was thrown in a cave. He was in a deplorable condition, a condition that others might feel to be greatly embarrassing. And for Bali Maharaj, no problem. The condition he considered embarrassing was that of Lord Indra.
Just see how attached he is. For one period of Manu, he'll have this kingdom. Snap of the fingers in the span of eternity. The soldiers of Chandavega don't stop, day and night. And as they pass, slowly everything is taken away. It's taken away anyway, so let me give it up now. And so in this way, Balir Maharaj became glorious. Let's see what else we have in this wonderful verse. So, Jayam Gunai Avarajo Pyadite Sutana Lokan Vichakrama Iman Yadatad Hyagya Atad Hyagya. A nice, interesting choice of names of the Lord. Adhyagya. Adhyagya. Sadhi Bhuta Adhidaivam Mam Sadhyagya. At the end of the seventh chapter, Arjuna uses this title of the Lord, Adhyagya. And then in the beginning of the eighth chapter, he asks, what is this Adhyagya? And Krishna replies, Adhyagyo Hameyvatra. And Prabhupada translates that as the super soul, the super soul inspiring from within. So the super soul is inspiring, giving us direction and facilitating the various moods of the devotees. So giving direction to both Bali Maharaj and Indra in sort of opposite ways. Very beautiful. Kshmam vamanena jagrihe tripada chalena yachnam ratepi paticharam prabhubirna nichalya yachnam. That same word is used, yachnam, varam na yache, yeah. Later in that verse I quoted earlier from Dhruva Maharaj, kacham vichinvan api divya ratnam swamin kritarthosmi varam na yache. I have nothing else to ask from you. But here, Vamana is asking something from his devotee. So it's interesting, from Krishna's side also he has nothing to ask, actually. It's just to benefit his devotee that he's begging in this way. But the beauty of devotional service is that the reciprocal devotional service is on neither side is there anything to ask. There's nothing to ask and yet everything to gain. There's beautiful ahaitukiya pratyata yayatma supersidati. As long as there's something to ask for, then it won't be fully satisfying. There was a nice lecture I heard. Prabhupada was describing this atma supersidati, that atma not only refers to the soul, but to the mind, to the body. In so many ways, atma can be applied. So Prabhupada was saying that ahaitukiya pratyata, by this unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service, one isn't the loser even on the material platform. One's mind becomes pacified, one's body becomes pleased. I was thinking about that actually when I was really sick and not very pleased or satisfied. I was thinking, oh, these miserable bodies, how much difficulty is there? I was thinking, okay, in spite of these difficulties, let me try to chant, let me try to hear something. And then, pacified. At least in the moment, it's a process. But by this practice, then it's possible, even in the most trying circumstances. Nayache. Vamanena. Also, this word Vamana, it's in all of these Leela avatars are named just directly the names of the, you know, Matsya means fish, Kurma means tortoise, Vamana means, I suppose you could translate it dwarf, although dwarfism, I believe, has some connotation of bodily disfigurement in small stature. I'm not sure what a more appropriate word would be, but anyway, dwarf. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, five or seven times, it mentions this, like a dwarf trying to capture the moon, is expressing the impossibility of a task. And in one of the instances, Krishnadas Kaviraj is describing that ecstatic love for Krishna
causes Krishna and his devotee to dance, and the ecstatic love itself joins them, and so the three of them dance in the same place. And the following verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, "My attempts to describe this ecstatic love are like that of Vamana trying to catch the moon, like a dwarf trying to capture the moon." Beautiful, beautiful description. So yeah, Vamana. And yet here we see Vamana becoming Trivikrama. This is Yogeshvara. This is Krishna's supreme mystic prowess, mystic potency. In Jiva Goswami's Harinamamrita Vyakarana, his grammatical treatise, he flips all the names of the Sanskrit terms and makes them all devotional. It's quite wonderful. He calls the vowels Sarveshvaras, and the 10 vowels a a e e u u r ri lir ri, he calls them Dashavatar, those 10. And the short ones he calls Vamana, and the long ones he calls Trivikrama. So Vamana would have one Trivikrama vowel and two Vamana. Anyway, side note, so much nectar and the acharyas playing with words, playing with grammar. There's more I could say, but maybe I'll open it up. Any comments or questions, corrections, if anybody has any thoughts.
Thank you.
Jaya Shesha Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Nice to see you here. I feel like I'm in Vrindavan.
Same with me. That was a nice program you organized for Jaya. Take this one.
Thank you.
So, there's an interesting aspect to Vamandeva asking Bali Maharaj for 3 paces of land. Prabhupada points out that the request was specific, 3 paces according to my measurement. And he's, as you say, playing with Bali Maharaj. Because Bali Maharaj didn't know he was Vamandeva Trivikrama. So Prabhupada points out that there's a humor between the Lord and his devotee, this idea that according to my measurement, he steps. And of course, Bali Maharaj reacts by saying that you don't know what your real interest is here. I can give you everything. I'm the king of the universe. But actually, it was he that didn't know. Because Vamandeva took everything with 2 steps and then accepted his surrender by placing his foot on his head for the first. So this humor was going on as part of the relationship between the Lord and his devotees.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's you see it actually mirrored on both sides. Indra is similarly approaching the Lord in the same way. You know, he's approaching. You can ask for anything. Ask for pure devotional service. And no, he's asking for something small. What a childish request. You just want your kingdom back. And so, similarly, Bali Maharaj is telling, yeah, my dear boy, you can have gold. You can have I'll give you your own kingdom. Whatever you want. Ask for something appropriate. No. He who won't be satisfied with 3 steps of land won't be satisfied with the 3 worlds. Wink, wink. He takes them all. Wonderful. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. It's very pleasing to see all that nectar rolling off your tongue. Beautiful. So what was Bali Maharaj? He's the grandson of who?
Prahlad.
Prahlad. Was that his? Was that what gave him the adhikar to have such full surrender in a moment like that? Or, you know, in other words, was it his DNA, or was it, what did he do? How was he raised? How was he preparing or pursuing spiritual progress?
We see this actually thematically across Srimad Bhagavatam. I was looking up the word amogha at one point, and Prabhupada uses the word amogha virya in the fourth canto, and is describing this pure seminal line from Dhruva Maharaj, which actually leads down to Anga and Vena and Prithu. And he was describing, you know, sometimes it may skip generations, but this pure line, the sages are reluctant to just destroy Vena. They say, after all, he's coming in this line from Dhruva Maharaj. So many powerful kings, Anga himself, such a great king. And so instead they churn his body and Prithu is produced. So similarly, there is definitely an aspect to that, that from such a great devotee, Prahlad, naturally the descendants are going to be of some character. And I believe some blessing was even given as well to Prahlad, that your future descendants also will be protected. There's not much more I can say on it than that. I don't know exactly what Bali Maharaj's upbringing was. He's still a disciple of Shukaracharya, he's still among the Daityas. He's playing a role, at least. Even Prahlad Maharaj, I always found that surprising when the earth becomes the calf. I mean, when the earth is the cow and various personalities are becoming the calf, and out of her affection, she's delivering various types of milk. Prahlad becomes the calf and is delivered alcohol to distribute to the Daityas. And I remember thinking, oh, that's kind of odd. Why is Prahlad distributing such a thing? But after all, they're Daityas, and he's merciful. So clearly Bali is playing some role. He's antagonistic to the demigods. So there's some aspect of Daitya-ness in him, and yet supremely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think the main underlying factor in all of this is service to one's spiritual master. We see that as the, because we're talking about seminal lines, Shukaracharya literally means the seminal acharya, so this is the family guru. And Brihaspati, when he's displeased with Indra, he disappears, and that actually opens the door for Bali to take over. Shukaracharya, strike now. Now is the moment. They've displeased their spiritual master. So ultimately, pleasing one's spiritual master supersedes any seminal considerations, parentage, or history. We see so many examples of Prahlad Maharaj himself, I suppose you could say is the start of it, not ideal parentage. And yet, by his service to Narada Muni, what glorious reciprocation is there. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. So those are, I guess, a couple of thoughts. But yeah, definitely, Bali Maharaj as being Prahlad's grandson has to have some wonderful effect. We just don't hear too much more about his childhood. Not in the same way that we hear about the childhood of Uddhava and Parikshit Maharaj. We hear about their childhoods. Hare Krishna. Prabhu.
Sometimes Vishnu Bhakta Bhavad Daiva Asuras Tadvipariya to classify who is a demon and who is a devotee. But here we see that even though Bali Maharaj is a devotee, he's classified as a demon. So, can you comment on that? Or?
Yeah. He's just, you know, by birth, he's a daitya. Daityanam Prahladas Chasma. How does it go? Anyway, among the daityas, I'm Prahlad, 10th chapter. Speaking of 10th chapter, dhyutam chalayatam asmi. Nice, appropriate. I'm the cheater
cheater of cheats, and Vamana's cheating everyone. But yeah, what is it that makes one a asuras tadviparya? Yeah, so a real asura is one who is against the service of the Lord. So in that way, he's definitely not an asura. So I suppose you could say there's a difference between a daitya and an asura. Same thing with Vritrasura. I mean, he's labeled asura, and yet he's such a great devotee. So yeah, sometimes we end up in these funny positions. You can't tell. Or never mind just demonic and devotional birth. How about Pundarik Vidyanidhi, surrounded by opulence? What a dangerous position. So much so that Gadadhar Pandit, how could this be a devotee? So sometimes devotees end up in these funny positions, awkward positions, that apparently in a low birth, but one's quality is to be measured by the quality of one's service to the Lord, one's mind.
I was thinking that Bhagavatam seems to portray that a lot, or all over, that the norm that we think is not necessary, so to speak, to be a devotee or a practicing bhakta. Everything is like that in the Bhagavatam. We see, the women are greater in their devotional life than you see in the men instructing, or the Vritasura. We also see how, Indra and him and Vritasura is glorified for. So it seems like all of the Bhagavatam, it's the message is saying that bhakti is beyond this Vedic norms. Mm. So that's one of the things we see also with Bali Maharaj, that he's asura. And the fact is also, one thing I was thinking, that the importance in the Vedic culture was family was a very important aspect, the dedication or to the family. And so if you're born in that family, you do what the family does, so to speak. So you see that happening, but then that doesn't stop one from being a devotee. Like Vibhishan, we have him also, like Ravana, and how he was a devotee. Mm. So there's so many examples, it seems like, in the Bhagavatam we see that. That's just one thought.
Yeah, somewhere Prabhupada says the devotee can't be stereotyped. We don't have a certain look. Yeah, it's the internal quality. And that's a nice point, the family dedication. So especially in the West now, that's so downplayed. The family unit is more and more being broken apart, and communities separated, and travel, the ease of travel makes families end up all over the world. Villages are no longer a cohesive unit where you know everyone in your village. So, yeah. But in this Vedic culture and Shastra, we do see a great stress on family, dedication to family. Nice point.
You mentioned how Narada Muni was going from person to person to find that person who had received the mercy of Krishna, King and Indra. And he was referred to Bali Maharaj, of course, in that famous exchange where he started praising Bali, and Bali said, "People glorify me for giving away, but it's silly because I only gave him what already belongs to him. My own body belongs to him. I didn't do anything." And it's been a while since I read it, but I thought he said, at that point, he went on to say, "The only reason the Lord paid me any attention at all was because I'm related to Prahlad." It wasn't because I did anything.
Yeah.
Any act of surrender.
Of course, that's the quality of a devotee. Every time something goes wrong, the normal mentality is, someone else's fault. Every time something goes right, by my prowess. So it's just the flip for the devotee, for Bali Maharaj. Everything is, he gives everything away. He's like, it wasn't mine to give. So this is the humility of a great devotee. But really, it's just, he had no attachment. Yeah, wonderful. Bhagavatamrita is so wonderful. If anyone hasn't read it, it's highly recommended.
Brahat Bhagavatamrita. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.